All right, well, welcome to the Mary Hyken Dumont University here at Anjay Sefarad Beth Elmeth Congregation. And we continue tonight with discussion of the importance of not being lemech. There's an expression in Hebrew that came from Yiddish, and it's called being a lemech. Oh, don't be such a lemech. What's wrong with lemech? Who's lemech? So let's learn a little bit about lemech, and we'll find out why Jews bemoaned anyone who was be like a lemech. So let's find out. Let's take a peek. Come join me over here. Here we go. The importance of not being a lemech. All right. So what does it mean? What's it all about? So first we need to know the context. Before we get to the really just two verses that talk about lemech, the context is that lemech married two women. That itself is very strange, right? I thought man would cling to his wife, and he would leave his mother and father, and he would cling to his wife. There would be one. And then there's another woman. What's going on here? So he had two wives. One was Adah, and one was Sila. So Adah gave birth to Yaval. He was the inventor of all those who were farmers, who sat in tents, and they had a lot of cattle. They would be, you know, more fancy farmers instead of just like maybe one or two sheep. His brother's name was Yuval. So you have Yaval and Yuval. It's strange. The two brothers had a similar name. He was the father of all those musicians, Charlie. Those who played the kinor, which is a wind instrument. And then, let's see, the ugav. I might be a pipe instrument. Yeah, the pipe instrument. Then Sila also gave birth to Tuval Kayin, who forged implements of copper and iron. So now the Iron Age, right? Called Tuval Kayin Nama, and they had a sister named Nama, maybe the wife of Noah. I'm not sure if to look into that. I know now his wife's name was Noah. I have to check, double check if this is the one. In any event, so Lemech doesn't seem like such a Lemech, doesn't seem like such a loser. He's, after all, he's got two wives, got lots of kids. They invented lots of stuff. Very significant contribution to society. So let's see what happens next. So Lemech says to his wives, Adah and Sila, listen to me. This is poetry. He's speaking poetry. After all, he's a very highfalutin guy. His children are inventors and founders of different professions. Azena imati, hear, hearken unto my word. Ki'ish haragdil vitzi. Because before I have killed a man, before wounding Bielad Chabadri and a child, because he bruised me, because of the bruise that I made. Not clear. We're not going to get into that so much. So what? Listen to me because I've killed a man. What is he talking about? Ki Shivatai, you come Kayin. Lemach Shivim Mishiva. Kayin was avenged seven times. Anybody who calls Hoy Kayin, Shiva time you come. Hashem said, anyone who kills Kayin will be avenged seven times. And anyone who kills me will be killed 77 times. I'm better than Kayin. The logic, Rabbi, say this is a bad kavachom, a minor ad major argument. If Kayin, who's less than I am, he would be avenged seven times. So I'm greater, I should be avenged 77 times. The rabbis say, no, it doesn't work that way. You can argue like this. If I'm 3 feet tall and I'm hungry if I eat one grape, so certainly a giant would be hungry if he ate a grape. You can't say that certainly a giant would be hungry if he ate 20 grapes. That we don't know. So anyway, his logic is questionable. But anyway, what is this talking about? Someone asked me this week. So what is this talking about? Listen to me, I killed a man. What is it? What's going on? So we need to read Rashi because Rashi is the source of the idea that you don't want to be a lemech. Let's take a look. Who wants to read that for us? Anybody?
For his wife separated from him because he had killed Cain and Tubal-Cain. I don't understand this. His own son. Lamech was blind and Tubal-Cain used to lead him. The latter saw Cain and thought him to be an animal. He therefore told his father to draw the bow, and thus Lamech killed him. As soon as he learned that it was his forefather Cain, he smote his hands together and struck his son between them, and so killed him too. His wives thereupon separated from him, and he endeavored to appease them, saying, Shimon Kalel, hear my voice.
Koli, Shimon Koli.
Shimon Koli, hear my voice. Obey me and return to me. For the man I slew, was he slain by my wounding? That is, did I wound him with premeditation, that the wound should be called by my name, that is attributed to me, and that the child that I slew, was it slain by my blow, that is, by a blow directed intentionally at me? Did I not act inadvertently and not with premeditation? This was not my wound, nor was this my blow.
So here's this guy, he's got two wives, but they don't want to have anything to do with him, because he, right, by mistake, he killed
everybody.
Okay, he killed Cain. And then he when he went like this, he landed out killing his own son. So he's such a lemech. I mean, what a lemech, right? And now his wives don't want to have anything to do with him. So he's just a big lemech. So you don't want to be a loser like this guy. Now that's what Rashi says. That's the most famous midrash about it. Rashi, of course, always draws from midrash.
Is this Chumash?
Often draws from midrash. Yeah, this is this week's parsha. This week's parsha. This is Rashi on Chumash. We were reading the two psukim from chapter 4, verse 23 in Chumash. In this week's parsha, Parshas Bereishis. Now, that's why you don't want to be a lemech, because you don't want to kill your father by mistake, and then when you go like this, you feel so bad, by mistake, you kill your son. Good, he was also blind. He had a sort of a bad life. You don't want to, you hope you don't, your fortune is not like Lamech, God forbid. Now, there's another theory, which is alluded to in Rashi as well, that his wives are worried. They're worried about something, but what they're worried about over here, they say, oh, you know, they're mad because he killed his son. But there are other theories about this as well. So we have the Ramban. Yuchat, he has two interpretations. Either he's not so bad, or that he was like Mr. Nobel. We'll explain in a moment. They were afraid that Lamech would be killed because of the sin of his father, of Cain. Maybe God forgave Cain, but he would take the retribution from the children. And since he was a grandchild of Cain, maybe he was in big trouble. They didn't know when would it happen. And so they didn't know when it would be. So Lamech tried to comfort them, and he said, Hashem yirachem alav. Hashem yirachem yirachem al Cain. Don't worry. God will have mercy on me. He had mercy on Cain. Because I'm clean-handed. I'm a great guy. According to this interpretation, Cain did not kill anybody. I'm sorry. Lamech did not kill anyone. He's clean. I'll pray to God. I'll also pray to God. God will hear his prayer. And that's it. So he's telling them, don't worry, I didn't kill anybody. It's a question. Did I kill anybody? I didn't kill anybody. Ramban says, nah, that's interesting. But what I think is like this. Lamech was a very wise man. Okay, it's the opposite of the modern Yiddish Hebrew expression that the Lamech, to be some kind of a fool. No, he was very wise. He was very good with all kinds of crafts. He showed his older son how to be a shepherd according to the nature of the animals that you're shepherding. And he was the one, he gets the credit, he must have taught his son the wisdom, like Charlie here, of how to play instruments. He taught the other one how to craft different types of weapons. See 1 second. Different types of weapons, spears, things like that. chok, any kind of war instruments. Ayun Hashem mitpachadot. But then his wives were worried. Shelo ye'anesh. Maybe he'll be punished. Ki yaviyah cherva yirtzicha ba'olam. He's the one who caused death and destruction and the sword in this world, murder. He told face maaseh avotav. So they were against the Second Amendment, and he was pro. So, and after all, Ben Matzah Rishon, after all, he's the son of the first murderer of Cain. So surely, maybe he's like Cain, he's a murderer. And you only created this destruction in order to destroy. So he said to them, no, I didn't kill anybody. No, like Cain did, no. No, God's not going to punish me. God will protect me. More so, right? And
no,
will protect me from being killed. Why do you say no?
This guy looks like somebody on TV. He's obviously guilty as hell. He said, I didn't do a thing. It was so and so that told me to go get the tire that he stole from my brother. This is crazy talk.
Let's look at the words. He said, wait, he either said, I killed a man, or he said, I killed a man. Right. But anyway, so he says,
an only kid.
He says, he's a pro Second Amendment. He says, you don't need a sword to kill people. You could kill people even worse by beating them to death.
Yes.
It's not the sword that causes murder. The one who makes a sword should not be punished. So they're having a very modern debate about the question of gun control. And are you guilty for gun control? So it's very interesting. He's connecting the story with the previous story about with the context that his children invented all kinds of things. And he's saying that he's assuring them no bad will come of it. However, the wives thought like Mr. Nobel. You know the story that there was the guy who founded the Nobel Peace Prize. He had invented dynamite, made a lot of money. So one day they published his obituary by mistake, and it said that he invented dynamite and caused a lot of destruction. And he realized that his legacy would be death and destruction. So he created the Nobel Peace Prize and other prizes to create a different legacy for himself so that, you know, until I heard that story, or you heard the story, you thought Nobel is a nice guy. So the wives are arguing the Nobel argument. They're saying that's your legacy, is that you created, you taught your son to create crafts, instruments of war? That's terrible. So they didn't like the idea that was his legacy. So it's very interesting. So you might say, so then what's the purpose of the story? Purpose of the story is that he's saying, look, when you create technology, it's not necessarily bad. That's what he's saying. But clearly, Ramban in both versions thinks that he's a good guy.
He does.
Very
accident prone.
Now, No, he doesn't say that he killed. According to this, he didn't say that he killed anybody. He says, did I kill anybody? It's a question. Rav Yosef Bechoshor is also a French commentary, like Rashi. He says he was reassuring them. He agrees with that approach based on Rashi. He says like this. I think it's like this. People knew that there was going to be a mabul. There was going to be a flood. Because we know as readers, we not only know last week, this week's parsha, we know next week's parsha, there's going to be a flood. This guy is born a little bit before the flood. So he's thinking, look, they're all going to die. Lemech didn't have any, the children of Lemech never had children. They all drowned. So the daughters of Lemech, they heard these prophecies and they didn't want to have children. So that's why he's there. He's begging these women. Maybe that's why they call him a Lemech. He says, come on, you know, they said to him, why should we give birth for naught, for vanity, for nothing? Then we're going to have to go through pregnancy and birth and raise the children, and then they're going to die. It's like Tay-Sachs disease. Who wants to have children that 3 years later they're dead? Although, right, sometimes you have children, they live a short time, and it can be very meaningful. But somebody on the outset might say, well, they don't want to do that. So he consoled them. He says, look, don't believe that God is going to destroy the world. No. Did I kill any men or did I choke any children? That my children will die by drowning? If God had mercy on Cain, who killed somebody, certainly have mercy on me. I didn't do anything. And he seduced them until they finally had children. So this story is actually before he had children. So, that's why he taught these crafts to his children. When they tried to work the land, it didn't work. Why? Because Cain was cursed, that the ground was cursed. So therefore, they had to discover other trades. It's like that theory that Russell Roberts, Joe Roberts' brother, mentioned that when one trade goes out of business, other people think of other ideas. So he's reassuring them. Right. So the reason he's reassuring is not because he killed them or because they're worried about what type of business he's in. He's reassuring them because of what? Because the flood is coming. The Moshe of Zakanim puts it like this. And this is based on a Gemara in Brachos about Yeshaya Navi and Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu said, I won't have any children. I heard that my child is going to be a wicked man. And God says, Bahani Kajirach Manalamalach, what are you getting involved in the secrets of God? And that Moshe of Zakanim, a French school of rabbis, they said the same thing. You do your part, God will do his. You're my wives, let's have children. And whether God wants to kill them or not, that's up to God. We do our part. An important lesson. Rabbi Amnon Bazak is a modern commentator or modern scholar of Tanakh at my yeshiva in Israel. He said he'd be protected like Cain, but he didn't have a promise. He said, look, I killed somebody, but don't worry about it. God, you know, always protects everybody because he protected my father. Yeah, but he promised your father. Or I would add, Cain had remorse. He had some sort of tshuva, and that's why God gave him a break. But you didn't do any tshuva. This guy is unrepentant. So now we're turning to the idea that he's bad. He's a bad guy. Until now, we said he's okay. He's fine. He's nothing wrong. And then there's an idea that that the wives are nagging wives. There's something wrong with these wives. Shadal says, he was a rabbi in Italy, 1800s. He says, he's basically telling them, leave me alone. He says, based on the unkelus, it's a question. He says, I didn't kill anybody like Cain killed his brother. And if God forgave him, so then certainly he will take any vengeance from me because I didn't do anything. And you guys are driving me crazy. And I didn't do anything wrong. So it's interesting. Well, why are they driving him crazy? Anyway, he's claiming innocence. But you know, like Charlie says, maybe he's not so innocent. But what else? Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, says, it shows that God keeps his promises. And don't have two wives. He says, look, I didn't kill anybody on purpose. So anybody, certainly, if someone tries to hurt me, they'll be revenged, worse than Cain, because Cain killed on purpose. And since I didn't kill anybody, why are you fighting with me? He says, why is the Torah recording a fight between the man and his two wives? Who cares about this story? He's showing us that even generations after Cain, they were very careful. They didn't want to kill Cain. And even Lemech, generations afterwards, he was he was worrying about this. So it's just the purpose of the story is simply to show that after Cain, it really came true. Nobody touched Cain and things like that. Again, according to Rashi, Cain was killed, which is weird. That means that Lamech should be avenged because God said that he would avenge Cain's blood. That's right. And also, it's telling us not to have so many wives. Rashbam points out, anytime you find two wives for one man, we always find the machlekes. Rachel was always fighting with Leah and with Yaakov. Nishe Elkanah, the wives of Elkanah were always fighting. Rachel was always fighting with her sister. Yaakov Rachel. Yaakov got mad at Rachel. Chana Lamativki. Elkanah got mad at Chana for crying so much. Because he had two wives, they started fighting with him, and he said, look, you try to calm them down. Whatever he said to them is almost insignificant. It's telling us don't have two wives. The Torah began by the romantic idea that you try to pursue the wife who was taken from you, and you find the other part of you that you lost. And then the Torah says, and then things got messed up, and people married two wives, and that doesn't work. And the whole story is against polygamy. Marikara, now even though it's not prohibited, you know, it's not prohibited in the Torah to have two wives, but it's not recommended. And very few people did. Usually it was done for surrogacy. If you're having trouble having children with one, you have the other. But that doesn't promise that you're going to have an easy time. Marikara was also a French commentator, and he said as follows. Number one, he agrees with the idea of don't have two wives. But also, he says something else. He married two wives, and they were always fighting and jealous of each other, and they were making each other mad, and they were screaming. That's what happens in the house when there's a lot of fighting, a lot of screaming. And he would say to them, well, what did I do wrong? Why do I have no peace in my house? I can't eat, I can't drink, I can't sleep, I can't get up. He says, did I kill somebody? Did I strangle a child? God forbid that such a thing happened to me. No one ever had such problems. I'm going to die from you people. I can't take it anymore. And God will get you. He says, God will pay you back because Cain who sinned, God is going to avenge him. Certainly me, he says, people who are bothering me, they will certainly get theirs from God. Basically, God will get you. He's telling his wives, God is going to get you for all the aggravation you're giving me. This is ridiculous. I can't take it anymore. And what's the point? He agrees with Rashbam. The point is, don't have too many wives. It only leads to troubles. Radak says something that, well, let's say not very politically correct. He's speaking to his wives in a very not nice kind of way. He says, Radak is Rabbi David Kimchi, came from Provence. I can explain also as follows. They were fighting, these two wives, and it was never the custom to have two wives until Lamech. And they were jealous of each other, just like two wives would tend to be for the one man. And that's why the name in later Hebrew for a co-wife is Tzara. How do you call, you know, your sister? We know there's a name for your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your wife, your brother. How do you call someone who's your co-wife? In Hebrew, Tzara. She's your enemy and she's trouble. Piyazta Tzarata. That's why in the book of Shmuel, she's known as a Tzara. They were Tzara, they were enemies. And he said to them, look, you guys are fighting. He says, I'm going to kill you if you keep fighting like this. And I'm not going to be afraid of the punishment if I kill somebody or even a child. Because God gave a long life to my grandfather. So God will give me an even longer life. This is very strange, very, very not nice. He's saying that Lamech is really a nasty character. He's like, I'm going to kill you and nothing will happen to me for it because nothing happened to my grandfather. Huh? Is that how you talk to your wife? He's threatening to kill them. So we have to remember the context of what's coming up. Next week's Parsha is Noah. End of the Parsha says, the human being became corrupted. So it makes perfect sense that Lamech is part of the downfall of humanity. Where Lamech says, I'm going to kill you, ladies. He's guilty of that which happens so much here in America and many countries where there's a lot of homicide within families, terrible family fighting. So Lamech is a horrific, he's not just a comical figure like the Rashi. He is a mean-spirited, threatening kind of a guy, a bully kind of a guy. And then if you want to say he's even worse, you have to read the Malbim. Here I use Nechama Levitch's English translation. She says as follows. Lamech is here warning people against standing in his way. Who wants to read this for us?
I think I can read it on my screen. Lamech is here warning people against standing in his way, boasting how he killed a man who had inflicted on him a wound. During the struggle, the victim had managed to give him a bruise, which is lighter than a wound, and in exchange, he had killed his children too. There is no one who can stand against me and seek vengeance, since there is no way of bringing me to justice because I am too powerful. If you say Lamech argued that I shall be punished by heaven, then I reply that if in the case of Cain, am I saying that wrong? Who was the first murderer?
In Hebrew, it's Cain.
Cain, okay. God nevertheless ordained that whoever would kill him would be avenged sevenfold, all the more so Lamech, who is more powerful than Cain. Whoever slays him will be revenged seven times sevenfold.
Right. So this, according to Chamalevich, this is part of the downfall of humanity, that people are now boasting of killing. We went from an accidental murder or a strange kind of murder with Cain and Hevel, and now this is a man who's boasting of killing. He says, so don't worry, no one will stand up against me. He is a boastful, hot-blooded murderer. Cold-blooded.
President Trump.
Hey, that's going too far.
Rabbi, I
need
to edit that part out.
Rabbi, I got a question. Is earlier... on one of the screens, they had talked about that everybody knew that the flood was coming. They had prophesied, letting them know.
Right.
And nobody did anything to try to stop that. And I'm assuming it's because they had got so low in this downfall that instead of trying to repent or try to do something to rectify it, they just went, okay, it's happening. Right.
That's one of the big themes in next week's Parsha, that they had 120 years to see Noah building the boat and to get on board, or to, you know, figuratively speaking, and they didn't repent. God was giving them 120 years to repent, and they didn't do it. So, yes, certainly during that period, they had opportunity. Whether he lived exactly during that period, I don't know, but that was Yosef Bechor Shor's idea. Very good. Okay. Now, and the Doc. Okay, finally, we have Lamech in a more positive light, Lamech the preacher. So we had some positive or quasi-positive expressions of Lamech. Then we had some very negative ones, somewhat negative, and then very negative. And now we'll end on a positive one. Hayim, he says, Rav Hirsch says like this, the response from Father Hirsch, 19th century. Do you think because we achieve so much, we have these children who invented, shepherding and music, and they invented metal work and weapons? Do you think we have fixed the sin of Cain? And we have now prepared our children and ourselves for a happy future? Not so, says Lamech the preacher. Lo kipar di'alvon zekeni kain. I did not atone for my grandfather's sin. Now he follows Rashi. I killed Cain. I killed the child. And I've ruined everything. I brought on myself more wounds than anybody. All the desires and the longings and the hopes of a society, of a culture society, are holy, and they bring happiness only if they are subservient to the worship of God. The culture of a generation built on the tradition of their fathers, handed to their children, and then they will live a life of happiness. But a generation of who comes from Mechuyael, Mechiyael, is a generation that it was wiped out. The Elokut, Mechuyael, means let's wipe out God. Let's secularize everything. Let's take God out of everything. And the whole purpose is to take God out of the hearts of people. A generation like that, who seeks only their own pleasure, that is not Tuval Kayin. Again, Rav Hirsch is very big on interpreting every name and every word. Yavul, it's not the ultimate fruit of Kayin. He's only going to create rebellions against God, rebels. A generation like that will end up killing its fathers and even killing the next generation. They'll bring upon themselves only wounds. A generation like this will, it sacrifices everything achieved in the past and even the future. And it will not come to anything in the present. So, according to Rav Hirsch, he's very much into the idea of the context. That the context here was that that Lamech's children invented a lot of cool stuff. So, so we say, oh, so what does that got to do with the fact that he boasted about killing somebody, like the Malbim says? He says it has a lot to do with it. Because when you have a society where God is removed from it, and you have people who are just technology for technology's sake, like the Dor HaHafluga, the Tower of Babel, they just wanted to build a tower. What for? I don't know. Some people say it was just technology for technology's sake. When you have something like that, it doesn't lead to human happiness. It leads to destruction. And you found in the beginning of the last century, right? You had all this technology. We used it to kill millions and millions of people. So the technology was not a positive thing.
So can we say that the technology was bad, but what it led to was bad? That it was used incorrectly, or?
Right, definitely. All things can be brought for something good, but he's saying, I'll guarantee you that it's going to come to something bad if you take the God out of it. And again, there are some people who talk to Michael Fox in our community. Some people who he has read many authors who claim that this is true of the Enlightenment as well. That during the period of the Enlightenment, there was a notion that, you know, you can do without God. They were tired of being led by the Catholic Church and all that. And they wanted to have the art without the Christianity, to have the science and sort of leave God behind. And you know, one might argue that it has brought us to where we are today, where there's a sort of the lack of bringing the two together. We take all the great technological leaps of the last generation. What if, you know, look at the direction it went? It went to the direction of hate speech, etc. Now, finally, they're saying that you can't deny the Holocaust on Facebook. But for 20 years, the technology is just taking us to a lot of negative places. Also, very good places. We're using it right this minute. But it can lead us to a bad place. Finally, I wanted to share one other point as follows.
Taking God out.
There's another Lamech. When we talk about it, don't be a Lamech, we're not referring to the other one. There's another Lamech. See, there are two lines. There's a line from Seth and a line from Cain. Line from Seth survives. That's where we are. But then there's a line from Cain, and that dies out in the flood. And in the good line, there was Lamech lived 82 years, and he had one child, and he called his name Noah. And he said, this child will console us from our sadness and from all the sadness of our hands, from the land which has been cursed by God. So there are two Lamechs representing, you know, they're both named, their name is Lamech, but from the two different lines, they're cousins from two different lines. And the two typologies of the human being, right? One is trying to comfort the world. He's trying to deal with the spiritual aspect of the world. We need spiritual comfort. And the other is trying technology and all that. And in the end, he's using technology perhaps to kill someone or to threaten people or things like that. So let's review for a moment.
So we're back to good and evil again.
What about it?
It just seems that everything leads to that. It's just, did you do the right thing or the wrong thing? No matter what tools you have or what kind of manufacturing.
Right. Oh, that's true. That's true. No matter how fancy you are, you got to do the right thing. Right?
So, well, everybody's got a Yetzer. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, we do.
I was going to say, everybody's got a Yetzer Hara and a good inclination and a bad inclination. And you got one line that basically shows the bad inclination and another one that shows the good.
Right.
More or less. Yeah. Right, one that was using more of that Tzelem Elohim, the image of God, walking in God's ways. Yeah. So let's review. So we talked about the importance of not being a lemech. As a modern expression, being a lemech is like a fool. We talked about the context that the lemech was someone who had three very interesting children who invented music, metalwork, and shepherding. And that Lamech said to his wives something about how he killed somebody. It's not clear. What is he talking about? And that Cain was avenged. He'd be avenged more. What is he talking about? She thinks it's some kind of story. And somehow he ended up killing his father and killing his son. And he's saying, well, don't worry about it. You know, I didn't do it on purpose. And that's why you don't want to be a Lamech. Some people say that his wives were worried. Oh, they worried. They worried that they would not be killed for the sin of Cain. So he says, don't worry about it. God is merciful. Or that he was very wise and he taught his children to do many things, but including making weapons. And the wives thought there was a terrible thing to let the children play with guns. They're going to land out killing people. And he said, no, don't worry about it. Joseph, of course, assures, he was reassuring them that even though they're destined to die, let's have children anyway. Of course, they did invent a lot of things, so I guess it was worth it. Or that, Rav Amnon Bazak thought that that he thought he would be protected like Cain, but he never really had a promise from God that he'd be protected. And as I pointed out, he never repented like Cain did. So why would he receive the same protection as Cain? There's also the image that he was a nagged husband. Maybe that's the idea of being lemech. And he says, look, I didn't kill anybody. Why are you always making me so mad? I didn't do anything wrong. The Rashbam says that this shows that God keeps his promises, that the children were worried about being avenged. And it also shows you not to have two wives. Marie Kara also points out that this shows you not to have two wives. He said to the women, you guys are killing me with all this, all this trouble. You don't let me sleep. And God will get you for that because it's not right. Well, what you're doing to me. So he kind of threatens them that God will get them. The Radak says something much worse, that he was threatening to kill them, which is a horrible thing, which makes Lamech not just a fool, but a really wicked kind of person. The Malvim is the worst one, who claims that he was actually boasting of his killing. He's just simply boastful, which shows the ultimate deterioration of the human condition, where in which people are not only not ashamed of killing, they're actually proud of it. Finally, we said a more positive note, the idea that maybe he was preaching that look what happened. I landed out killing my father and my son. And even though we created so much technology and so many inventions and so many great wise things, it didn't help. Because technology that's not wedded to God and values, it will only lead to deterioration. It will not lead to happiness. So that's Rav Hirsch's idea, Rav Hirsch's preaching. In the words of Lamech, as a preacher. So we had Lemech as sort of a ne'er-do-well. He just, he's blind. He lands out killing everyone by mistake. We have him as this guy who's got these terrible nagging wives, and he's talking to them. We have him as a very mean husband who's threatening his wives, who's praying that God should get them. And then we have him even worse as, with the notion of that he's actually boasting of his killing. However, it's also possible that he's pointing out that the futility of technology devoid of any godliness, which is really what the next story about the flood, about the Tower of Babel is all about. Technology for technology's sake is not only meaningless, but it's dangerous.
Well, this guy,
all right, so that's a little bit dull from two verses about Lemech.
Such a long and miserable life. I mean, it sounds like it to me. Maybe just studying it for 45 minutes is not the same as going over it for 7 months. But I like what you said about Michael Fox's thing about the Enlightenment
was wonderful, but it wasn't wonderful. It wasn't as wonderful as it could have been because for some reason they felt the need to escape Christianity and actually, they need to wed the new technology with godliness.
I didn't know that they actually gave up on Christianity. Some of them, I don't know. The deists and the guys.
I don't know the details of it, but clearly, modern times are all about secular. Secular culture.
I remember when the Time magazine said, "Is God dead?" And that started a whole when I 1966 is when I went to college, and that was really a big year for atheism. People making fun of anybody that was religious, and that was really popular back then.
Well, in any event, I just wanted to officially end our recording session. So thanks to all those who join us for our recording, and you can join us each week for a discussion of the Parsha. We'll be doing this 8 o'clock Zoom on Thursday nights for the near future. That'll be our weekly Chumash class. It will be 8 o'clock in the evening.